Everybody has a story, as we heard from Rav Willig, right? So for a certain generation, it's where were you when President Kennedy was shot? I have to admit that I was very young when that took place. But my touchstone is September 11th. I remember September 11th very well. It was a Tuesday. It's not working? Okay. I'll use my voice. It was a Tuesday, and all the other children started school. You know how they do it, you know, when I had some kids in preschool. So you come for a half hour, then you come for an hour, and then you come for, you know, 2 hours, and finally half a day, and then finally a full day. So this Tuesday, September 11th, was when all the younger kids and the older kids in the family were finally going to a full day of school. And I had my little one, Elisheva. She was home. And we decided, okay, not we, I, we went to vote. Right? We did, there was a special runoff vote that morning. We went to vote, and then we were going to go to Manhattan as a special treat. And I decided we're not even going to go through the subway because it's, you know, so tight. We're going to go from the Long Island Railroad. So we went to the platform of the Long Island Railroad. I live in Kew Gardens. There's a beautiful station there. And we're waiting on the platform, and as we're waiting on the platform, someone gets a cell phone call that a small commuter plane hit the World Trade Center. So we're all thinking a small commuter plane hit the World Trade Center. That's not going to stop us from going into the city. So we all get on the train, and we're on the train. And then the train starts to go slower and slower. And this was the 8:46 strike of the North Tower. And as we're on, the South Tower was hit. And there's a little spot where you travel from Queens to Manhattan, right, that it's above ground and you totally see South Manhattan, and we're watching as the two towers are burning. One is collapsing right away and the other one is burning, and we just can't understand what is going on. Like, how do you absorb something like that? And here I am with all these business people, but I thought this was going to be a little trip. I took Elisheva, my two-year-old, in the little stroller, and we're on the Long Island Railroad. And everyone is getting calls, and it's just mayhem. We get out. Once we're in the city, no cell phones are working. It's really crazy. I have this little daughter. She's in a little stroller, just the two of us, with thousands of other workers. There are no other kids around. What do you do? So everyone is panicked. I tried to find a regular phone. It was very hard to find one that was open that worked. And I decided I'm just going to walk up with all the other thousands and thousands of people up 3rd Avenue. My parents moved to the city not long before that. So we walk up 3rd Avenue with thousands and thousands of people walking because there's no public transportation. There are no buses at that point. There's nothing, no express buses, nothing, no trains. So I walk up and I come to my parents' house at 54th and 2nd Avenue. And we go on the balcony and you see the smoke from the World Trade Center. And then on the TV, we saw the whole detail of what happened. And it was just absolutely shocking. Rav Rosenzweig, right, was giving a shiur in Kesholer. Every Tuesday morning he gives a shiur in Kesholer. And right in the middle, he's also in the middle of giving the shiur, they come and announce, right, that the World Trade Center was hit. And then when he's in the taxi, it took him a very long time to get to YU, he hears that the second building also came down. In his shiur was a man called Jeremy Pizer, who decided to come to shiur that morning. That was the first shiur of the year, and he came on a regular basis. But he came to shiur that morning, and he worked in Cantor Fitzgerald. And he came to shiur, and because he came to shiur, he was going to go to work late. And he came to shiur that morning. And my brother-in-law, Judah, was also late to work because they were davening late because of slichos. And by the time he was working 7 World Trade Center, by the time he just sees there's all this craziness, he turns back home. So on many different levels, we were connected. I come to my parents, but all the kids, what's going to happen with all the kids at home? What's the information in school? Are they letting out? We just can't be in touch with anyone. So I decide I have to leave my parents' house. I take Elisheva, and we have to walk over the Queensboro Bridge. There are no trains going anywhere in Manhattan. So we walk with thousands and thousands of other people over the Queensboro Bridge. Once we get to the Queens side, I take a train with her, right? And I get home, and all the kids were sent home from school. So it definitely left a very strong impression, and I remember the details of that day very strongly. So it is a day, right, that you know, I remember and will live in infamy, at least in my experience. I picked this Haftarah because it speaks to destruction and renewal, alienation and reconciliation. And after 9/11, with such destruction, and today actually we see the rebuilding, and you know, New York is growing bigger and higher and taller, right, than it was even before, right? What is the message of this Haftarah, right? The Haftarah that we're going to read this week is actually a double Haftarah. This week is Parshat Ki Teitzeh, so we're going to read the Haftarah of Parshat Ki Teitzeh, which is number 5 of the Shiva Nechemta, but we're also going to read number 3 of the Shiva Nechemta, because when it was Haftarat Re'eh, it actually was Rosh Chodesh, so we missed the Haftarah of Re'eh. So actually this week is a double Haftorah. We're going to read 3 and 5. The Ashkenazim are going to read the Haftarot 3 and 5, and that's what I prepared for today. So we're going to read 3 and 5 of the Shiva Nechemta. Actually, they're in opposite order, but because we're going to read them in order, it is Perek Nun Dalet and goes into Perek Nun Hei. And also, this is the Haftarah that we read for Parshat Noah. So this is our goal for today. And the Shiva Nechemta are the 7 Haftarot that we read after, right, Tisha B'Av. We have from Shabbat Nachamu till right before the Yamim Noraim. The 3 Haftarot that we read from Tisha B'Av, sorry, from Shivasar B'Tamuz to Tisha B'Av are called the Gimel Puranuta, the 3 Haftarot of destruction. So really what we're speaking is about destruction and rebuilding, right? Destruction and consoling, consolation, Nechama. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. So we're going to start, we're going to read the Haftarah, the Pshat, and then every so often we're going to intersperse some of the Mifarshim and also make a lot of parallels to other places in Tanakh. So what is the message of this Haftarah? So we're in Yishayahu, Perek Nun Dalet, source number 1. Roni akara lo yalada, pitzchi, rina v'tzahali, lochala, ki rabim b'nei shomema mi b'nei be'ula amar Hashem. These are all parallelisms, right? We're starting with the idea, Roni akara, right? According to Pshat, and Rashi explains, we're talking about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is now a barren woman, right? She's an akara. It's as if she's barren and she never gave birth. We all know Yerushalayim was filled with people, right? These are haftarot that talk about post-Khorban. What is going to happen after the Khorban? How is Hashem going to bring Nechama for Am Yisrael? So Bnei Yisrael are really not barren. Yerushalayim's not barren. It had children. It lost all its children. It's really a shakula. It's also someone, right, like a person who lost all their children. But we use the metaphor of akara. So Yerushalayim, that is like a barren woman, should now sing, right? And again, the parallel. Pitzchi rina v'tzahali. Open up and sing, rejoice. Why? Ki rabim b'nei shomema. You will have more children. Even though you were forlorn, you will have more children than the b'nei bi'ula, than those who are married, amar Hashem. So right away we see something so interesting, that the description of Yerushalayim, and we're going to see in this Haftarah, the relationship between Hashem and Am Yisrael is like a marriage. It has its ups and downs, it has its highs and lows, but it's a marriage that can never be abrogated. It's a marriage that will be forever. So the relationship in Perek Nun Dalet, we're going to speak about Yerushalayim and Hashem and Bnei Yisrael as a married couple. In the next Perek, Oniyas Torah, the second part of this Perek and the Haftarah, right, that is really the second Haftarah that we're reading, the continuation of this Perek and into the next Perek, is going to speak about Hashem and Bnei Israel as a national covenant. So there are two Britot, there are two covenants that we're going to speak about. The covenant of husband and wife, and in our relationship with Hashem, it's a husband and wife covenant, right, but will never be ended, can never have gerushin, can never have divorce. There are ups and downs and difficulties, but there will never be divorce. And the second view is the brit of the national relationship, which means as a community, we will never be destroyed. And our relationship with Hashem will always be intact, which means Am Yisrael as a nation will never be destroyed, and it will always live forever. So we have these two metaphors and these two ideas of symbolism. Now, if you look at the language, Roni akara lo yalada, that someone who didn't have children will then rejoice more than one who had many children, is very similar to the view and the language of Chana. Right, ad akara yalda shiva v'rabat banim umlala, which means even Chana, who had no children, right, that in the end she's going to rejoice even more than Pnina, who had many children, or just in general this idea, which means Bnei Israel are going to be redeemed. They're in a terrible state, but redemption, Yeshua, is going to come. So what should she do? Pasuk Bet. Harchivi makom ohalech. Expand, enlarge the area which you're going to pitch your tents. Yiriyot mishkinotayich, and the tents, right, and the canvases, right, of the houses that you were, the tents that you were going to build. Don't stint, right? Spread out, right? And also, right, ha'arichi meitarayich, extend those ropes, v'yetedotayich chazeki, right? Extend and really make those pegs strong, which means, because after destruction, what is Hashem saying? You're going to be established. But the first step is going to be tents, which means you can't have established cities. You can't have established buildings. That's going to be in the next perek. But right now, just establish tents, which means right away start life. Don't think, oh, I can only rebuild once I have a massive building, once I have real stone foundations. Already start right away. Start rebirth right away. Don't linger in the destruction. Don't think that, oh, I can't start anew. Even put up tents. Start right away. Think of rebuilding. Pasuk Gimel. Why? Ki aminu smol tifrotzi. You're going to expand right and left. V'zarech goyim yirash. And your children are going to inherit other nations. V'arim nishamot yoshivu. And we're going to establish the desolate cities. Again, the language is very familiar to us. Number one, we know it from Lecha Dodi. It's taken from here. And also, these are the words that Hashem told the Avot, that you're going to be established in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to expand. So even though there was this terrible contraction, galut, alienation, we're going to come back. Start temporary, but you're going to expand. Think positively. Think about rebuilding and building for the future. Pasuk Dalet, Al Tiri, don't be afraid. Many times what stops us is fear, right? After a terrible tragedy happens, we're fearful. We don't want to look ahead. We can't think of the future. And Hashem says, no, you have to think about the future. Look ahead. Ki lo teboshi, don't be ashamed. Al tikalmi, velo tachpiri, don't be ashamed, cringe, disgraced, right? Be embarrassed, which means Bnei Yisrael felt embarrassed. Hashem punched them in the face. Hashem destroys the Beit HaMikdash. He exiles them. So they feel embarrassed. They feel ashamed. Many times in a relationship, when you feel ashamed, you're embarrassed. You don't want to make that first step. You don't want to put out your hand. You don't want to reignite the relationship. And when Hashem is saying also, don't be afraid to reignite the relationship. Don't be ashamed. Let's start getting back together, right? We have to really make this work. He says, Ki boshet alumayach tishkachi. Right, when you were young and you really misbehaved, forget all those terrible things. V'cherpat al menutayich lo tizkiri od. Don't remember anymore that you were a widow. Now again, just like barren, Bnei Israel were never a widow. Because what do we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu never dies. So of course Bnei Israel weren't really a widow. Which means Hashem really separated from them. But how did Bnei Israel feel? Like a widow. Like God left them. Right? We know after the Holocaust, what was the famous phrase everyone said? God is dead. Right? Don't feel that way. I am here, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am with you. Right? Don't think of yourself as almana. Right? And don't think all the bad things that you did in your youth. Right? What's the famous phrase that we remember from Yirmiyahu, in Yirmiyahu Perek Bet, which is the second of the Puranuta, the second of the Haftarot of Desolation. Right? Haloch v'karat bozne Yerushalayim lemor, ko amar Hashem, zacharti la chesed ne'urayich, ahavat klulotayich, Lichtech acharay b'amidbar be'eretz lo zrua. Hashem says, even when Bnei Yisrael were doing terrible things and Chorban was about to come, Hashem still says, I remember the days of youth. Now, there was a wonderful time between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, right? And that was Har Sinai, and that was in the Midbar, where we had this unbelievable relationship, even though we complained a lot, right? There was this relationship. It was young. It was vibrant, right? It was the beginning of this wonderful long-term relationship. So Yirmiyahu was staying there, right? I remember those good old days. But on the other hand, the end of that perek, and in perek Gimel, and many other prakim and Tanakh, what do we know? What did Bnei Israel do to that relationship? They were disloyal, right? They shamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't really feel that trust and loyalty. They didn't continue that relationship, right? So what are Bnei Israel feeling? Bnei Israel feeling now that Hashem only remembers all the bad things they did. He doesn't remember those good old days. So Hashem is saying, right, Pasuk Hei, look at Pasuk Hei. Ki bo'alayich osayich, which means your husband, in Pasuk Hei, bo'alayich osayich, which means your husband is the one who created you, which means your husband is Hashem. He created the world. He's everlasting. He's the God of the universe, which means your relationship is never going to end. And it's a little play on words, because bo'alayich osayich, the one who has really consummated the relationship with you, right, he's the one who made you. Again, the idea of the husband-wife relationship. But it's also a hint. According, after what Avodah Zarah did Bnei Israel go? After the Baalim. So don't choose the Baalim. The Avodah Zarah is your God. Who is your God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's really your husband. Don't go to these other religions. Stay with Hashem, and that is your future. So again, the language of marriage, right, is very strong here. And we all know that this idea is really solidified in Sefer Hosea. What is the famous phrase in Sefer Hosea, right? Ve'erastich li le'olam, Hosea perek bet, pasuk kaf aleph and kaf bet, ve'erastich li le'olam, ve'erastich li betzedek, ubemishpat, ubechesed uberachamin, ve'erastich li be'emunah, ve'yadat et Hashem, which means our relationship is solidified. It's a betrothal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This marriage idea is steeped, right? But it's a marriage that never ends, which means no matter how bad, right, and how difficult and how alienated, we still have this connection, this responsibility. But this betrothal, a relationship is two-sided. It's not just one-sided. In a relationship, two sides have to be connected. Each side owes something to the other side. So it says, we're betrothed, betzedek, mishpat, chesed, barachamim. But who does tzedek and mishpat, and who does the chesed and the rachamim? Right? And ve'erastich li be'emunah, who has to have the emunah? So over Shabbat, Rav Rosenzweig was doing the parsha with the Chasam Sofer, the Torah Moshe, and he showed me something very interesting, and that's why I didn't put in the sources, but it's so relevant, it's so beautiful. The Chasam Sofer says, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sha'arecha. Right? How come Bnei Israel have this obligation of Shoftim v'shotrim, right, that we read in this past parsha? She'amru b'midrash, says the Chatam Sofer, right? Ve'erastich li betzedek ubimishpat ubechesed v'rachamim. She'akodesh Baruch Hu noten chesed v'rachamim va'anachnu notnim tzedek u'mishpat. What's our relationship? Hashem treats us with chesed and rachamim. He gives us such a big leeway. What's our responsibility in this world? Our responsibility is to act betzedek ubimishpat. And we're going to see this theme here. We're going to see it early in Yeshayahu. We see it all over in Tanakh, which means Bnei Israel have to do chesed and mishpat. Without doing chesed and mishpat, without having justice, without having righteousness, there is no reality. There is no existence for Am Yisrael, because that is one of our most important goals. So the Chasam Sofer continues, Ubazen nigmerah ha'erusin, ve'erastich li betzedek ubimishpat, ubechesed urachamim, hinei HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten lanu arim gedolim. We have beautiful houses. We're established. That's his chesed, along with all the other wonderful things that he does for us. And what's our job to pay back for all this goodness that Hashem gives us? We have to do tzedek and mishpat. We have to deal honestly and truthfully in the world. And now let's go to continue in Pasuk Vav. Right? Because I just want us also to know, right, when we're... What? We're back in Pasuk Vav in Yishayahu Perek Nun Dalet. Because I was just reading from a separate paper that I had. Because I just found this out over Shabbat, the Chasam Sofer, so I didn't have a chance to put it in. We have to give in the sources way early. Okay, so we're continuing in Yishayahu Perek Nun Dalet, right? We're on source number one, and we're in Pasuk Vav, right? Ki isha azuva va'atzuvat ruach kra'ech Hashem, which means Hashem's calling out to us. We're forsaken, we're depressed, right? And Hashem's calling out to us. Ve'eshet ne'urim ki tima'es, your wife from when you were younger, or that special relationship, you know, that romantic fervor that you have, right? We can always reignite that relationship. So Hashem says, that feeling that we had at Har Sinai, we can always get back to that. Get back to that. Which means that special relationship that we had, Hashem says, don't give up on it. Even though you're depressed, right? And you feel alienated, we can always get back to it. Don't, right? Don't feel that I'm rejecting you. Pasuk Zayin. Berega katon azavtich. Because how did Bnei Israel feel in Galut? Berega katon azavtich. I left you in 1 minute. Which means all of a sudden Bnei Israel felt korban. The Nevi'im were talking about it all the time, but Bnei Israel were not believing that it would ever happen. And when the korban happened, berega katon azavtich, uberachamim gedolim akabtzech. Even though I left you in one little moment, I'm going to take you back and gather you, berachamim gedolim. Which means even though there was the korban, the Yeshua is going to be much bigger. Look at Pasuk Chet. Right, in the pshat. B'shetzef ketzef histarti panai rega mimech. It's true, and this is our question we're going to see in the Mefarshim in a moment. B'shetzef ketzef. Ketzef we know is anger. What's shetzef? Is that a quick anger, or is that a long, drawn-out fury and real anger? Right? I was angry with you, and I hid my face. Rega, just for a moment, and then a terrible korban happened. But how am I going to redeem you? B'chesed olam richabtich. Amar Goalech Hashem. I'm going to bring you back with a great chesed olam, something that is going to be eternal. Look at Pasuk Tet. We're, again, still number one, Pasuk Tet. Kimei Noach Zotli. My destruction of you is a little like what I did in the time of Noach. Just like I brought the waters of the flood, Asher nishbati me'avor me'noach odad al ha'aretz. I swore I would never bring the flood again in the world. Kein nishbati miktzof alayich u'migor bach. That's how I'm swearing that I'm never going to be this angry with you and almost bring total destruction. Which means just like I won't destroy the world, I won't destroy Bnei Israel completely. Right? That is my promise. Just like I said that I won't do it for Noah, I'm not going to do it for Bnei Israel. So now look at the Mefarshim. So we're going to go first to Rashi. Look at number three, Rashi. Okay, look at Rashi, which is source number three. And Rashi explains, right? Rashi is 1040 to 1105. He's from Troyes, northern France, right? He really integrates Pshat and Drash. So his first idea, Perek, right? Nundalet Pasukhet. The Shetzef Ketzef. What does Shetzef Ketzef mean? So first, he's quoting Menachem. And this is Menachem ben Saruk, who was a big grammarian, right? That Rashi had his book. But this is Menachem ben Chelbo. This is the uncle of Rav Yosef Kara, who's a Talmid Chaver of Rashi. So he's quoting Menachem ben Chelbo, and he says Menachem, right, explains this as chari'af, which means how was Hashem feeling towards Bnei Israel? A fury, a terrible anger, and that's why he brought Chorban. But Dunash, right, Dunash ben Labrat, who is from 920, right, a little earlier, but he's from the Golden Age of Spain. He studies with Rav Sa'adi Gaon, and he really set grammar, right, with the Shorashim and its connection a little with the Arabic language. He says, Shetzef Ketzef means a small anger. Hashem was just angry a little, just for a moment, just for a very short while in a small anger, right? And then, right, he is going to come back, the Chesed, right, Sheet Kayem Adolam. And he says also Targum Yonatan, right, from the time of the Mishnah, right, who gives us an Aramaic translation and also a lot of drash in Navi and in Ketuvim, also explains that it's just for a moment, right? It's a small, you know, infraction. It's not a long-standing feud that Hashem has with us. Look what Rashi says. Kimei Noach, right, continue on to the next pasuk, pasuk ter in Rashi. Kimei Noach zotli. Rashi says, it's a shvua, I'm swearing. V'holecho mefaresh dvaro. And then he's explaining, what's the swear? Just like I won't destroy I won't destroy the world, as I promised to Noah, I won't destroy you ever again, right? Look at Ibn Ezra, right? Ibn Ezra, we're going in order, right? Ibn Ezra is 1089 to 1167. He's from Spain. He's a Pashtun, a poet and a philosopher. He's explaining, what does it mean, May Noah? Is it only, I'm swearing just like I won't destroy the world like I wouldn't with a flood of Noah? Look what Ibn Ezra says. He says, Ki May Noah. Look carefully at the words. Hamabul Shahaya, B'yemei Noach, the flood that was in the days of Noach. So we're going to see he's using flood, water of Noach, and he's also using the days of Noach, right? So what is, why is he using water and the days of Noach? It says ki mei Noach, the waters of Noach. Look at the psukim, right? It's the water of Noach. So look at Radak. And Radak says something very interesting. We're going to Radak, it's number five. And Radak, again, we're going in order, right? 1160 to 1235, right? He's from Provence, southern Spain, right? A big grammarian and philosopher. His father was Rav Yosef Kimchi, right? Radak is Rav David Kimchi. His brother is Rav Moshe Kimchi. When his father passed away, Radak was very young. He lived in his brother's house, and his brother also taught him a lot of the Torah of his father, and he remembers something from when he was younger. So look at Pasuk Chet. In Radak, we're doing Pasuk Chet. B'shetzef ketzef. Again, what does it mean? Is it big anger or is it like a small anger? Right? Zeh ha-pasuk ki'inyan ha-pasuk ha-rishon. Ela shekafal o kefel ha-inyan b'milot shonot l'chazek ha-inyan. Radak is using, right, an understanding that there's a parallelism here. Right? Kefel inyan, we're parallelism. We're paralleling, or we're reviewing, we're repeating the same idea with different words to accent the idea. It's an idea of parallelism, right? We say the same thing, and we accent it in different ways, but it means the same thing. So look at the psukim again. Look at number one, just to get the words, right? Because it says, Berega katon azavtich, I left you for a small moment, uberachamim gedolim akabtech, but I'm collecting you with a big rachamim, pasukhet. Beshetzef ketzef, histarti panai. So what is he saying that shetzef ketzef is paralleling? Rega katon. So shetzef ketzef means small anger, not a big anger, right? So he's saying that that's what it is, which means it's small anger. And I'm proving it right? Not from knowing what the word means, because we don't have shetzef anywhere else in Tanakh. He's saying this is clearly a parallel of the Navi. So it's kefil inyan b'milot shonot, right? We're just accenting, right, the same idea. And he's also saying, again, now let's go back to Radak Pasukhet, right? Radak number 5 Pasukhet. He says, Umilat shetzef peresh menachem lafi ha'inyan kemo b'chari ketzef. Which means Menachem ben Chelbo didn't explain it as a parallelism. He explained it more as in the thing, it is, we start with a lot of anger, and then we have a lot of rachamim in the same pasuk. Va'adoni avizal peresh, and he's quoting his father, he says ma'at ketzef. He's quoting his father, he's saying, my father says it's ma'at ketzef, ketzef, anger, just like Yonatan, Targum Yonatan also explains it. But here also is something very interesting. Look at Radak Tet, look at Radak Pasuk Tet, Kimei Noach. What does Kimei Noach mean? We saw, Ibn Ezra says, it's either the waters of Noach or it's like the days of Noach. But where did he get the days of Noach if it says Kimei Noach? Because the waters of Noach. So Yesh Machloket, so Radak explains, Yesh Machloket Basfarim. What does it mean, Yesh Machloket Basfarim? As we know, right, the Torah, Tanakh, comes down to us, right, in a Masoretic text, right, in a codex, right? We use the main codex of Ben Asher. That's the main Masoretic text that came down to us that was put together right from all the earlier manuscripts in the 9th century. But already earlier, we know from the Qumran, right, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and also from the Septuagint, right, the integrity, right, of the Torah and of Tanakh and of the text. But, you know, how do you split the words, right? In some manuscripts, there were, you know, is it Kimei Noach? Like the water of Noah, or is it like the days of Noah, right? And the Ben Asher Masoretic text is the Aleppo Codex, right? And that's the authoritative text that the Rambam explains is our authoritative text. But look what Radak explains, Pasuk Tet, right? We're in Radak, number 5, Pasuk Tet. Ki mei Noah, yesh machloket basfarim. There's a debate. Some people had the manuscript that it was ki mei Noah, split, like the days of Noah. And if you look carefully, right, there's a little line, right, on Pasuk Tet, Ki Mei Noach, there's a little line that connects, because in some of the Sfarim, Berov HaSfarim Hem Shtei Milot, in most of the books, most of the Masoretic manuscripts, right, it was two words, Ki Mei Noach, but in some of them, it was one word, right, Uperesh Menachem Mei HaMabul, that's why it's the waters of the Mabul. V'samcha l'Noach Shabao B'yamav V'nitzal Mehem. Why do we call them waters of Noach? Because the flood happened in the time of Noach. The Yesfarim, I'm doing the underlines in Pasuk Tet, Shehi Mila Achat, there is a tradition that is just one word, like Kiyameh, like the days of, right? And Yonatan, so Targum Yonatan had the text that it was one word, Kimei, right? Kiyomei Noach, like the days of Noach. But either way, we see Mikol Makom Inyan Echad. So what Ibn Ezra was trying to do was put the water and the days together. And what we see here, he also says, Radak says, it's really one idea, the days of Noach, the waters of Noach, the idea is the same. Which means I'll never bring a flood just like I brought during the time of Noah. So this is the idea that we see. I want you to go now to the Al-Sheikh, right? What is the Al-Sheikh saying? Number 7 is the Al-Sheikh, right? The Al-Sheikh, right? He is Rav Moshe Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, we many times call him. He's from 1508 to 1593. He is born in the Ottoman Empire in 1508, right? But he moves to Tzfat. And he's very involved with all the Mekubalim. And he becomes a student of Rav Yosef Karo, and he also became the Rebbe of Rav Chaim Vital. So he's very involved, right, with the whole circle of all the Mekubalim, right, and the Halachists in Tzfat. So what does Rav Al-Sheikh say about this idea of Shetzef Ketzef and the Mabul? Why do we connecting our Brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Mabul? The Mabul is one thing, that's Hashem and the Goyim in the world, and our Brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is separate. Why are we integrating the two? So the Al-Sheikh says something very interesting. I'm just going to paraphrase, but please, you have all the sources. You could look them and read them all yourself. The Al-Sheikh says, what's the connection between the Mabul and Bnei Israel? The Al-Sheikh is saying, is just like I won't destroy the world as I promised with Noah, I won't destroy Bnei Israel. Because the only reason there is a world and Bnei Israel and the world is surviving is because of the zchut of Bnei Israel. Which means the only reason we have the world is bizchut of Bnei Israel. Hashem saw the Torah and created the world. Ra'ah, istakel, the oraita, ubara alma. which means the only reason we have the world is because of Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael keep the Torah, but also the specialness of Am Yisrael. So without Bnei Yisrael, there will be no world. And that's why this is a good metaphor to use. And he also adds something else, which we're going to go when we do the next pasuk in a minute. He also explains, if you look at the end, he said, my relationship with Bnei Yisrael is a chesed, because it's not even connected to Zchut Avot. I don't not destroy Bnei Yisrael because of Zchut Avot. It's not just, oh, I promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that's why I'm not going to destroy Bnei Yisrael. My covenant, once I promised Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, is now with Bnei Yisrael. It's with you, directly. I don't need, right, to only rely on Zchut Avot. My relationship with you, our marriage, our relationship is eternal, which means, and nothing can abrogate it. Even no actions that you do will ever break it up, because we have this unbreakable covenant. It's a chesed olam, it will never end. On that note, right, I want to go back to the psukim. We're continuing, right, in our psukim. We're going back now to pasuk yud, right, to pasuk yud, back to page one, pasuk yud. And what does it say, right, in pasuk yud? Ki heharim yamushu, v'hagvaot timutena. The mountains will move and the hills will shake. V'chasdi me'itech lo yamush, u'brit shlomi lo tamut. Which means my chesed with you is never going to end, and my brit shalom is never going to be shaken. Which means the promise after this first part, and this is the last part of our, this is the first haftarah, this is our haftarah of this week, even though we're adding the other haftarah. The Chazal ended this haftarah with this brit idea, which means our brit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this marriage brit, is eternal. It's a brit shalom. It will never shake. It can never be abrogated. And even though the harim yamushu, right, even though the mountains can move, and we all know the view of Rashi, don't read, and he's quoting the Medrash, right, don't read harim, but horim, the parents. Which means even if Zchut Avot, and this is the idea of the Alshech, right, even if Zchut Avot, right, might be abrogated, right? My relationship with you will never be abrogated. So please look at Rashi. Please look at Rashi, page, on yours, what page is it? On yours, it's page 2, right? What is Rashi explaining? Right, Rashi is explaining, right? Ki heharim yamushu. Does everyone see it? Pasuk yud, right? Ki heharim yamushu, af im tichlez zchut avot ve'imahot. Even if zchut avot finishes, right? Even if it has an end, right? Chazdi me'itech lo yamush. My chesed from you will never be abrogated, which means our zchut avot, right, is eternal. It's complete. It will never be destroyed, right? Look at Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra also says, look at Pasuk Yud. Yitachen sheyamushu heharim, rak chazdi me'itech lo tamush, ובריד שלומי ביני ובינך, והטעם כבעל עם אשתו, ביניהם ברית שלום. Which means Ibn Ezra wants us to understand, this first metaphor is the marriage metaphor. Which means this brit shalom between husband and wife, between us and Hashem, is never going to be broken. It's eternal. It's never going to be destroyed. Which means even though there are ups and downs, and we see all the words that we use for the relationship, alienation, right, embarrassment, separation, barrenness, widowhood, right? We always have to know that we always should rebuild together. Maybe we'll start with tents, but in the end, it's just going to be chesed rachamim, and we have the obligation of tzedek u'mishpat. We have an obligation on our side, right, for this brit shalom. And I just want to bring one other idea that has to do with this. I'm going to move ahead. I just want to make sure I finish in my time. So let's go on to the next piece, because the next piece is the next haftarah. And it ends Amar Merachameh Hashem. That is the end of this piece. Aniyasoira, next haftarah. It's really one piece. In Haftarat Noach, whatever we're reading is the whole Haftarah, but for the Nechemtas it was split because it had two beautiful ideas of Nechama. So let's go. We're in source number one, we're in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and we're starting. Oniya Soera Lo Nuchama, which means, right, Bnei Israel feel like a storm. They don't have Nechama. They're not comforted. How is Hashem going to comfort us? Anochi Marbitz Bapuch Avanayich. How am I going to make you comforted? What's Anochi Marbitz Bapuch Avanayich? I'm going to build your buildings with carbuncles, with rubies, with beautiful stones, which means that the Nechama, originally what was the Nechama? Build tents. But what do we all know? We need stability. So Hashem is promising us, you feel all distraught, right? You feel uncomforted, what will comfort you? Stability, right? You build beautiful homes, you're going to establish them, right, with stones, with rubies, right? V'samti katkot shim shotayech, your foundations will be rubies, pasuk yud bet. Ula avnei ekdach, and I'll make, right, with super stones, kol gvulech, all of your borders will be la'avnei chefetz, precious stones. Meaning, number one, what do people want? Stability. And what is stability? It shows it in buildings that are built solidly. It's so interesting, right? What do we see in Manhattan, in New York? What's our answer, right? What's our answer to 9/11? We're building bigger, stronger, nicer. Rav Rosenzweig and I were in Berlin, Vienna, and Prague this summer. And what do all these countries and cities want to show about themselves? They have big buildings, they have beautiful palaces, whatever wasn't destroyed in World War II, right? The beautiful palaces, beautiful, buildings, and, you know, just go to the crown jewels of the Hofburgs. It's just like unbelievable what is going on, right? So what you see, it's just so interesting that, you know, a lot of times, right, a place wants to show its establishment with its buildings, with its beauty, with its, you know, moneyed and expensive buildings. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel. That's good. I want you to have an establishment. I want you to feel you could rebuild a bit on Mikdash and it'll be beautiful, right, and it'll be established. But Pasuk Yud Gimel, what's your biggest asset? Not all these great buildings, which you need psychologically because you need stability. But what is your biggest asset? What will be your biggest gift? V'chol banayich limudei Hashem, v'rav shalom banayich. The biggest gift I can give you is that all your children will be learned, and not just learned, but know the limud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, limudei Hashem. And not only that, v'rav shalom banayich, that there'll be peace among your children, right? That everyone is going to get along, that there'll be shalom, and everyone will be learning Dvar Hashem. That is the biggest gift that I can give you. And we all know, right, and relating back to the Chasam Sofer, but of course, in the Pshat, in Yishayahu Perek Aleph, because I always want to use the Haftarot that have to do with the Chorban, right, Yishayahu Perek Aleph, which is the first Haftarah that we read, is Haftarat Chazon. In Pasuk Havav, right, one of the last Psukim of the Haftarah is, V'ashiva Shoftayich Kevarishona, V'yoatzayich Kevatchila, Achreichen Yikare Lach Ira Tzedek Yirya Ne'emana, Tzion B'mishpat Tipadeh V'shaveh B'tzdaka. What is Nechama for us? Limud Hashem, Tzedek, Mishpat, Yosher, which means that is for us the biggest Nechama that could be. What's our biggest nechama here? V'chol banayich limudei Hashem. That all of our children are going to be learned. Look at Pasuk Yudalit. Bitzdaka tikonani. How are you going to be established? Bitzdaka. So limud Hashem. Shalom and tzdaka. It's only with tzdaka can you be established. Without tzedek and mishpat, there is no future for you. You're not going to be established. There's no morality. There's no ethics. Rachakim me'osher ki lo tirai. Don't be afraid of all those terrible things and all those people who are trying to steal money from you and destroying you. It's not going to come close to you. If you have tzedek, mishpat, if you have limudei Hashem, if you have shalom, all these things cannot hurt you. Do not be afraid. Again, the idea of being afraid. So we're seeing it on two different levels. Our first level was the marriage level. And we're going to see that this Haftarah, Aniyas Soerah, is the national level that I spoke about. It's the communal level. It's the establishment, the institutions that we run have to be b'tzedek, b'mishpat. It always has to be with justice. So let's see what the Parshanim are saying here. So I want you to look at the Malbim, because he just says such a beautiful idea. So the Malbim is number 8, right? The Malbim is Meir Leibush ben Yechiel Michel Weiser, right? He's from 1809 to 1879, right? He is in Eastern Europe, right? He is the Malbim. And I want you to see this beautiful idea that he says. Look at Pasuk Yud Gimel for the Malbim. V'chol banayich yihiyu limudei Hashem. What is this big bracha, v'chol banayich yihiyu limudei Hashem? Sheyikablu halimud va'emuna v'Hashem. Which means that we're going to get the limud and the bitachon from Hashem, which means either it'll be direct from Hashem, or we're all going to try to understand what is Dvar Hashem, right? Ad shelo yeh machloket b'neihem badvarim ka'ele, which means once we understand that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't mean we all have to say the same thing, but we all have to understand that everything from is Dvar Hashem, and we really try to understand Dvar Hashem, and we have emunah and bitachon in Dvar Hashem, that is going to lead that we won't have machloket. Not that we don't have different opinions, because everyone always has different opinions, but it's all going to be in the same direction of limudei Hashem. And as a result, what are we going to have? Umimele Rav Shalom Banayich. If everyone is on the same path, if everyone understands each other, everyone understands this is Torah Mishamayim, everyone understands that this is Dvar Hashem, and we try to work, right, with Elu ve'elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, ve'rav shalom banayich, right, then we can be strong and have peace among us. Because there'll always be enemies from outside, he says. Od yamdu shnei oyvim mibachutz, like we have in the Pasuk, right? But don't be worried about them. The people who are going to do injustice from ben adam l'chavero, whether it is with money or it is on capital punishment issues. If you're together, if you have emunah ba'ashem, bitachon ba'ashem, and you have a unity of Torah, then you are going to be able to stand up to all pressures, even the ben adam l'chavero pressure, even monetary, even interpersonal. And the answer is yudalad, b'tzed b'tzdaka tikonani. Again, we're in the Malbim. B'tzdaka tikonani, habidyan shiskarti shibanet tzion me'avnei chefetz. Meaning, in the beginning, you build buildings that are beautiful, have sapphires. We're in Malbim, pasuk yudalad, right? Number 8, pasuk yudalad, right? Is that what you have? Because mine is a little different. Habinyan, all the building, she tibanet zion ma'avnei chetzet, like, no, we said it, like, it sounds a little superficial, you know, that we're building all these beautiful buildings from precious stones. So he says, no, it's important to have the precious stones, but gemar habinyan, but the finishing of the building always has to be with what? Al yedei tzedaka. It has to be bitzdaka. So it says, bitzdaka tikonani. You're going to be established and your buildings will stay, lechonen, right, will only be through the tzedaka. Shehem ha-ma'asim tovim bein adam la-makom. You have to have two things. You have to have the ma'asim tovim and bein adam la-makom, right? Shebizchuta timalet gam ken mishnei machrivim habaim mibachutz. Which means if you do the ma'asim tovim, right? And you do, right, the mitzvot aseh, and you are connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Then if you have the Yirah Shamayim and those good things, then also the bein adam la-chavero will come along. You have to do both. But it has to start, right? Reshit Chokhmah, Yirat Hashem. Which means that's how you start. You can have Chokhmah, you can have all these good things, but without Yirat Hashem it doesn't work. So that's why he says, yes, you can have the beautiful buildings, but it has to be based on tzedakah. And the tzedakah has to be also the good deeds and what we understand, ben adam lamakom. And then you'll be able to push away all the other negative things. In this idea, I want you to look at Breshit Perek Tet. We're always making these connections to Noah. But look at the difference of the language. When we're talking about our relationship with Hashem, we're talking about rachamim, chesed, right? Bracha, tzedakah. We're talking about zuchut. We're talking about these special words that talk about chesed, rachamim, over and over and over again. But look at what happened with the brit of Hashem in the world in Noah. Breshit Perek Tet. What page is it for you? 4? We're in Breshit Perek Tet. After the flood, and after Noah comes out of the Teva, and Hashem is just about to make the brit with Noah, what does it say? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Reshit Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hakimoti et briti itchem v'lo yikaret. I'm not going to destroy anybody anymore. V'lo yeh od mabul. There won't be any more mabul. Right? And Hashem says, this is going to be my ot brit. Right? We know it's going to be the keshet ba'anan. Right? Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm going to give the kashti ba'anan. And every time you see the keshet, you know I'm never going to bring a flood. And I'll remember. Pasuk Tetvav. V'zacharti et briti. What's the brit? Pasuk Tetvav. V'lo yeh od hamayim l'mabul. Which means, what's the language with the brit, with the whole world, when it comes to the mabul? Hashem won't bring destruction. Won't bring destruction. It's only the sur meira part. Which means, I'll stay away from destruction with the world. But what is it when we talk about Hashem and Bnei Israel? Chesed, rachamim. Our covenant is not just Hashem won't do bad things for us. Hashem is going to do chesed, rachamim. We have a special relationship, and we should cultivate that unbelievable relationship, right? It's this kind of brit. If we look at Rambam, Hilchot Matnot Aniyim, I just wanted to bring that in, because what also establishes us as someone special, as a special group of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the Rambam, Hilchot Matnot Aniyim, Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, Chayavim anu lizaher b'mitzvah tzedakah. Tzedakah, as we're seeing, tzedakah, chesed, rachamim, all these things, mishpat, that we have to do. That's special for us in Am Yisrael. Shat tzedakah siman letzadik zera Avram Avinu. Which means, how did Hashem know, right, Avram Avinu? Because he says, ki yedativ leman asher yitzaved banav lasot tzedakah, and what's the next word that he doesn't have? Umishpat, right? Ve'en kisei Yisrael, right? Bnei Israel are not going to be established without tzedakah. Because as it says, right, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh b'tzedakah. So let's go back, right, to the psukim, to the rest of the haftarah. So what is going on here? Right, what do we see is going on in the end of this haftarah? Which means we see our relationship is tzedek, mishpat, rachamim. That's how we have to establish ourselves. So let's go back. We're in perek nundalev, right? We're in pasuk tetvav. Hen gor yagur efes meoti, mi garitach alayich yipol. Right, all those people who want to start up with you, they're going to be destroyed because I'm your protector. Right? Because Pasuk Tet Zion and Yud Zion, who made any kind of armaments and weapons? It's me, Hashem. So if you're with me, I'm going to protect you because you're my people. Right? And look what's happening to you now. Yishayahu Perek Nun Hei, Pasuk Aleph. As we all know, why do all the Haftarot, right, run from Perek to Perek? Because we didn't really do the Prakim. Right? The Prakim were really put together by the Christians when they were having the polemics, arguments with the Jews. And that's why the Prakim, the chapters, don't always fit, right, with the ideas, right, that we have of what are beginning of themes and not in the Tanakh. But we kept it because it made it organized and it was easy to use. So once the publishing came up, right, they started to use this idea of Prakim and Psukim. But that's why you're always wondering, how come a Haftarah is starting in this Perek, it's ending in the middle, it's not? We also have that with some of the Parshiot, because we didn't really do the Prakim, but we keep it as a useful tool. So look at Yishayahu Perek Nun Hei Pasuk Aleph. So it's really in the middle of an idea. Kol tzameh lechu l'mayim, right? Everyone who's thirsty, right, go and find water. Right, 1 second, I just want to use my page. Right, go and find water. Why do you have to find water? Right, because people are poor. It's after the Chorban. People don't have money. They don't have anything. They're trying to find water. Right, they're trying to find food. So Hashem says, your money's not worth anything because we're in a very terrible situation. If you listen, look at Pasuk Bet. Shim'u shamoa elai. But if you listen to Hashem, va'achlu tuv v'titanag b'desha nafshechem. If you listen to Hashem, you'll be eating good food. Good things will happen, which means what's the premise of everything? Listening to Hashem. Look at Pasuk Gimel. Hatu oznechem ulechu elai. Hearken your ears, right? What was the criticism that Yishayahu is given, right, when he is initiated to be a Navi? That, right, the Bnei Israel are not listening, right? And what's the message here? Bnei Israel have to listen, right? It's very important that Bnei Israel should listen. They have to listen, right? And not only that, we know in Amos the famous phrase, Lo ra'av lalechem v'lo tzav alamayim ki'im lishmoa divrei Hashem. What should we be thirsting for? Divrei Hashem. Once you thirst for divrei Hashem, I mean, that might be Yemot HaMashiach, but it's also talking about now. If you thirst for divrei Hashem, then all those things come along with that. But look at their most important pasuk in this part of the Haftarah, and that is, Hatu oznechem ulechu elai. V'shim'u utechinak shechem ve'echrata lachem brit olam chasdei David ha'ne'emanim. We're in Yishayahu, we're in number 2, Perek Nun Hei, we're in Pasuk Gimel. Which means, I am going to make a brit with you, chasdei David ha'ne'emanim. Which means, what is the brit that we have? A brit olam of chasdei David. This is a national brit. Just like I had a brit with David HaMelech. Just like I had a brit with a national community of Am Yisrael, so too this brit is a brit of chesed, right, that is going to stay forever. And chesed doesn't mean just righteousness, loving kindness, that Hashem's going to do it, right, and, you know, it's like extra, but we don't deserve it, and it's not set. This is a brit chesed that is established, that can never be abrogated, will never be ended. And that's why it's similar, it's a parallel to the chesed of the marriage. So we have the chesed of the marriage, and we have the chesed on this national level. And the end, right, of this haftarah, right, which is so beautiful, is hein eid l'umim netativ nagid u'mitzaveh l'umim, which means not only is David HaMelech, but Bnei Israel are a witness to all the other nations. We are the leaders, meaning we are the Or LaGoyim, which means on a personal level, we have this personal relationship with Hashem. On a national level, we also have that special relationship with Hashem. But we have this obligation to do chesed, mishpat, tzedek. We have a responsibility to be an Or LaGoyim. And as a result of being an Or Lagoyim, Pasukei, Hein Goy Lo Teida Tikra, the Goy Lo Yidaucha Elecha Yarutzu. If we do a good job and we represent Dvar Hashem to the world, then all the other nations that didn't know Hashem are going to run to Hashem. Yarutzu, they're going to run to Hashem. Leman Hashem Elokecha V'Likdosh Yisrael Kifei Arach. Because Hashem glorifies you, right, and you glorify Hashem. That kind of mutual relationship. So really, and if you look, what's the next pasuk in this perek? Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo Kra'uhu Biyoto Karov. Now that's the Haftarah that we read on Ta'anit Zibur, but that's also the whole idea of Aseret Yimei Tshuva, which means what we see here in our Haftarah is our unique Brit Hashem is one of Chesed, Rachamim, and Shalom. After the Mabul, Hashem promises never to bring one again, but the language is negative. It doesn't apply a unique, special relationship with humankind that is really is an overabundance of love and care. Hashem, of course, loves the world, but we don't find in the Brit after Noach, this overflowing love and care and compassion. But our Brit with Hashem is like a marriage that is an eternal covenant, right? With Chesed, Rachamim, and Shalom. There might be good times and bad times, but on a personal level, our marriage with Hashem, and on a national level, it never will be abrogated, as we see in our Haftarah. The Chazdi me'itach lo yamush, u'brit shlomi lo tamut amar merachamech Hashem. We're in Chodesh Elul. Right? This is really our chance to really rebuild those two relationships. The personal relationship that we have with Hashem, Yirshu Hashem Behimatzo, as we all know, there are times of alienation. There are times that you feel you're far away. But what we see here is that it's our job to make those first steps. Maybe we'll just pitch tents in the beginning, but in the end, it'll really be established buildings. We have the mechanism because Hashem loves us, and we have this marriage relationship that Hashem will never leave us. But also we have this national relationship, this communal relationship, that we as a group will always be the Amma Nivchar, and we as individuals can really request that special relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we have to take this opportunity, right, through Avodat Hashem, Tzedek, and Mishpat, to really bring the idea, right, the Eras Tich Leolam. Thank you.